This is The President's Perspective, a podcast with the purpose of sharing what's important and what matters to the President and CEO of Texas A&M University Commerce, Dr. Mark Rudin. I'm Jared Knight. We're beginning this project with a series dedicated to the 2019-2024 strategic plan adopted by A&M Commerce. The plan spells out the vision and mission of the institution as well as its four foundational principles, which are a commitment to be transformative, innovative, inclusive, and sustainable. The plan itself is available online at tamuc.edu/strategic plan, and we'll link to it everywhere this podcast is available. Included in the plan are five strategic priorities and goals, which are student preparedness, elevate research, create an inclusive community, align our initiatives, and transform our operations. Today, we'll focus specifically on student preparedness. Dr. Rudin, it's good to visit with you.
Jared, great to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
So before we get into the text of the strategy and start to break it down, talk about what exemplifies a prepared student.
You know, I think sometimes in higher ed, we feel like the experiences they have in the classroom and the research lab and internships and so forth, that suffices. That ends up preparing the student. I'd like to take it a step beyond that. You know, my previous job, I was the person responsible, and this is at my previous institution. I was the person responsible for interacting with businesses and industry and potential employers of our graduates and having a dialogue with them saying, listen, I know that we are producing accountants, biologists, and so forth, but tell me a little bit about these extra skills. How do we develop a more well-rounded, employment-ready type of student? And take what they had to say, things like being able to work in groups, being able to communicate oral and written, being able to solve problems, having these analytical type of skills, and taking those 21st century skills, which is kind of the buzzword, right?
Sure.
And taking that information and having that discussion with our faculty and the folks that are teaching the classes and seeing if we can start to lay out programs that do a great job preparing the best electrical engineer we possibly can, but perhaps augmented with some of these other skills, these 21st century skills that industry is so interested in seeing our students possess.
So they like a graduate who knows how to work well in groups, who understands things like time management. I mean, I know there's a lot of sort of tertiary aspects that make a, not only a good graduate, but a good employee. And I've seen a lot of those come more into focus as of late. There's, in fact, the Student Access and Success Center on the campus of A&M Commerce, I know had focused and has been focusing a lot on making sure that students are taking care of all the non-classroom things in addition to their classroom work.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I think where we're a little bit ahead of the game at A&M Commerce is when I go out and talk to industry, this short, you know, I've been here about a year or so, but talking to industry about our graduates, and I bet I've heard this 2-3 dozen times, that our graduates possess the skill of a great work ethic. I can't tell you how proud I am to be part of an institution that's producing graduates like that. And that is a reflection, I think, on our campus, particularly our faculty, a real stick-to-itiveness, right? The blue-collar kind of approach, whether it's a white-collar job or a blue-collar job. And I think that sets our graduates apart. It's something that's recognized, and what a tremendous skill asset to have coming out of our institution, regardless of discipline, regardless of area of study. Really, really happy about that.
These students are going out into the world ready to work.
Absolutely, and work hard.
Right,
right, and that's not always you don't see that as often, I guess, as you would hope, but certainly see it in A&M Commerce grads.
So in the text of the strategy here, as it relates directly to the strategic plan, this is the 2019-2024 strategic, so this is the over the next 5 years. This strategy is to provide a transformative and experiential education that prepares students for a rapidly changing world. I don't mean to be flippant about this, but we don't really have a crystal ball, but we can look back, you know, in the recent memory and see where there were full-on course strategies that were being offered 5 years ago, 10 years ago in fields that are all but obsolete now. And we are talking about preparing students for jobs that don't even exist today, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. But I'll give you a good example of that. Again, speaking with industry, let's take an example of electrical engineer. All right. I think in the past there have been some folks that have studied and got their degree in a technical area like electrical engineering. and afterwards said, you know what, I want to go back for an MBA. Okay. And I think hearing from industry, they're a little bit cool on that idea now. I think that's MBA used to be the hot thing, right? Online MBA. In fact, A&M Commerce was a pioneer of the online MBA within Texas. But I think there's been a shift of thought on that. I think it's a little bit more about, yeah, we the industry saying it would be nice to have your technical folks, like students, electrical engineers, to have some MBA. But is there any way we can incorporate a business savvy, a business readiness type of sequence within their academic undergraduate degree? So imagine taking, you know, you have a set of core requirements for an undergraduate. Can't do anything about that. That's mandated by Texas State. A core of required electrical engineering classes. Let's knock that out of the park. Let's produce the best technically sound electrical engineer we can. But then you have these electives out here. Is there an opportunity to respond to industry and be able to remove or pluck out some of these undergraduate electives and replace them with business readiness courses that would augment that electrical engineer's degree? And, you know, you mentioned how do you keep abreast of what's changing out there? And I really do believe, Jared, it's a matter, and I don't want to sound oversimplify this, but it really is a matter of just having the dialogue. Right? What do you see? What does industry see 5 years from now? You know, again, what I'm hearing is a little bit less emphasis on the MBA, maybe a little more emphasis on industry coming in and say, you know what, Jared, great employee, we're not going to send you back to A&M Commerce for an MBA, but we know your job has shifted into, let's say, data analytics. Let's send you back for a graduate certificate in data analytics. Let's send you through a course sequence of 3 or 4 courses that drill down and really provide you expertise in that area, come back and apply that on the job, and do it at a quicker and a more reasonable cost associated with that degree program.
I remember you not too many years ago, whenever you mentioned that the shift is kind of moving away from the tacked on MBA later, that there was sort of this trend, I think it was a nationwide trend, where employers were talking about taking some of their employees who wanted to progress like a sort of a management track and even helping to offset the cost to send those employees back for an MBA program. But it sounds now like when we're taking stock of when industry is taking stock of what it needs, perhaps it's looking more in the skills bucket rather than in the degrees bucket.
Absolutely. Yeah. Skill development. Right? Having that dialogue with industry, understanding what skills they need in our graduates or students they send back to A&M Commerce for additional training education and making that happen. Right. You know, I would say this, that I think I really still do think there is a place and an important place for an MBA degree. My son right now, who graduated in computer science, is going on for his MBA because it complements what he's trying to do for his career. Right. But now there's a lot of different options, a lot of things that you can pick and choose and start to craft and customize your own educational experience, again, to make you successful in the workplace.
Well, I think there are priors that folks who maybe aren't spending all of their time inside what I might call an academic bubble for illustrative purposes, who maybe think, you know, well, an MBA is what you get if what you're trying to do is run the company one day. Or, you know, if you want to, you know, go beyond whatever the you know, basics are. I think that the shift toward skills rather than degrees is upending that a little bit, that assumption that, you know, particularly for folks on the outside who say, oh, you're going back for an MBA, you must be trying to run the company. And it's like, no, it's because there are some things I'd like to be proficient in. And I'm going back to pick up those skills, those classes.
Absolutely. And again, it goes back to customizing your academic career, your academic degree plan. I go back to my son. If he wanted to run a company, would I ask him to go, would I suggest he goes on for an MBA? Maybe. But would I also suggest maybe going on for a master's in management or a graduate certificate in management that could, again, develop those skills, put it in his toolkit, and move him along his career. And I guess that's a case-by-case, person-by-person consideration there.
Well, and another positive, too, is in 2019 and moving forward, and if an undergraduate student decides not, once they graduate, they decide not to pursue a master's program immediately, it seems now that we've made it we've removed barriers to entry across the board so that they can do that at any point.
Absolutely.
In their future, in their career, between careers, they can come back and pick that up as well. So you, when you talk about fully customizable educational experience, you're talking about over the course of a lifetime as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, Jared, if I go back to the undergraduate experience, you know, because one of the words you said in there was experiential, right? It isn't just classroom. It isn't just field. It isn't just studio learning. There's an opportunity to apply your skills during the undergraduate career in a business setting, industry setting. And internships are one way to do that. I'm very happy the way our faculty across all disciplines, I know we focus a lot on business, but across all disciplines are creating meaningful value-added internships for their graduate, for their students throughout their undergraduate career. Mm. And so I can't tell you how important that is in that personnel development of that student. You know, I continue to challenge, and I believe our faculty have been receptive to the challenge to constantly think out of the box. What's next? What's next in terms of an experience as part of your undergraduate degree at A&M Commerce?
Sure.
One of the things we're tossing around right now, and I went down this road in a past job, and I want to pursue this now. You know, you think about 20% of the workforce, and that's a rough number. I got to be honest with you. I don't know what the exact number is. About 20% of our workforce works remotely. Okay, they don't report, punch the time clock going into work. They work from home or they work from some remote location. Okay. The traditional internship would be, Jared, we're gonna have you go to a company. You're gonna report there during the summertime every day, or find some time during the week, during the semester to make that happen. If the expectation is not always that someone's there, maybe there's 20% that is not there. Let's start thinking about virtual internships, right? So if Jared Knight is a computer science major at A&M Commerce, think about the possibilities of perhaps doing an internship with Google, but still do it within the confines of your room and your residence hall,
right?
And really create special opportunities there. An internship at Google would look pretty nice on a resume, whether you're in there in person or doing it remotely.
Sure.
So are there opportunities there to think out of the box and, you know, be a little more contemporary in how we approach our business here?
And I think, too, in the field that I did choose, which was not computer science, it was I don't know if that's for better or worse, but definitely in the field of broadcast, the opportunity like an internship, I know, would have been phenomenal. I consider myself blessed to have found an actual paid job while I was in school to be able to do that. Now, a lot of internships, too, are kind of going the paid route. But the point of the story is being able to work shoulder to shoulder with professionals to be able to do the job. And if the job is not necessarily in person, it's obviously possible to work virtually shoulder to shoulder with professionals in order to get that experience that you need so that whenever you walk in the door, you're not, and somebody goes, have you ever done this? The answer doesn't have to be, you know, no, but I've seen it in a textbook, right?
Mm-hmm. And I've heard folks say, well, that's not a great experience. I mean, where do you start developing the working with a team and being able to interact with people? 20% of the workforce is already there, right? They figured it out. I think to the people that are not so excited about this opportunity for our students, I would say that 20% of the workforce is Skyping in every day. They're reporting and completing deliverables every day by email.
Right.
They're having a lot of interaction. It's just a different way that they're interacting with their peers at the company than perhaps you and I did when we were going through our career.
And I'll tell you, we kind of are now. We've got this, you know, virtual workspaces like Slack and non-standard work hours and deliverables that are coming in overnight so that you've got something to work on in the morning and folks can kind of work on it when they're able and they're doing, you know, just as good a job as they would have done. They're just, if they're not sitting in the office, they might actually have some time to kind of let it breathe a little bit and turn it into something, you know?
Absolutely.
So I think there's, you know, there's value. I mean, I know that we aren't going to go on, wax on about the positives of a, you know, not having to go to the office. But the point of the story is that the people are working a lot of different ways and the institution's being responsive to that and developing those skills.
Absolutely.
We also have, as a bullet here under the strategy, of student preparedness, pursuing academic excellence, new and enhanced programs, innovative pedagogies, and an engaging environment for learning to increase student retention and success. And I think that we covered that talking about the idea of the internships. And finally here, collaborating with internal and external partners to increase student research opportunities and career readiness. And I know that, not to, to use it almost like a Pavlovian bell, but I know when we talk research that that your eyes start to sparkle a little bit.
Absolutely.
And I know that we've baked that into this this strategy already.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I, when you bring that up, it just makes me think how hard our engineering college is working on that interaction with industry and creating those experiences. And I've had a number of nice meetings with Dean Brent Donham, dean of our college. And, you know, oftentimes in these engineering and computer science disciplines, there is a senior design project where a team gets together and solves problems. What a tremendous opportunity for us to reach out to industry, find out what their problems are that this student team could take on. Can you imagine the experience gathered and what kind of opportunities that would present for our students? Those are the kind of interactions. That's when I want to say collaborate with the outside and inside folks and really create meaningful, again, value-added experiences for our students that are solving real-life problems at industry. And I can't think of a better opportunity for our students.
Right. I can think of so many of these one-off stories where somebody was a part of something or the other as part of their learning experience. I was connected with a person, a friend of mine back in school, who had an opportunity to do an internship with NASA. Mm-hmm. And there were some opportunities that she had to be a part of some very real, in some cases, tragic events, but where she was seeing, you know, moment to moment how these things are dealt with, you know, with obviously the most recognizable name in space, in the universe, to our knowledge. And this whole deal set her up to sort of understand how all of that works. And who's going to say, you know, how do you deal with crisis management? And you have that, you know, sitting on in your toolbox going, well, there was this one time. That sort of stuff where students have an opportunity to work shoulder to shoulder with professionals. And you know, it doesn't necessarily limit the focus on classroom learning. I use the phrase a lot whenever we have students come into the broadcast arena, that we are a place for you to practically apply your classroom skills. Learn it in the classroom and then bring it here and show us what you know, show us what you know to do, and get the experience. Because like I said, being able to recite it, rote memorization is one thing, but having already developed a little bit of muscle memory is something else.
Oh, absolutely. You know, also you use the words collaborate with internal, internal folks too. And so I have nothing set certain in my mind right now, but I, you know, I gave an example. You know, I go back to CS because I'm kind of bringing my son back in there, but I can speak from experience in that. CS was his major, but that was not his passion. His passion was music. So is there an opportunity to collaborate at a place like A&M Commerce? Mm-hmm. Is there an opportunity to take what our students are learning in a discipline and have that interaction, a collaborative spirit across disciplines? Can you imagine someone who is a talented CS major that has this passion for music and where the world is right now in terms of everything's digital?
Right,
and digital
electronic music.
Yes,
sure.
Absolutely.
Sure.
App development, whatever you want to call it. Let's see if we can, again, I'm sorry to overuse this word, but customize degree programs that make sense for our students and allow them to pursue not just their degree, but their passions.
So we've gone over what we are talking about whenever you read student preparedness in the strategic plan. Dr. Rudin, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. Very excited about this.
So The President's Perspective is produced by 88.9 KETR from the campus of Texas A&M University Commerce. Episodes are online at ketr.org. While you're there, consider making a contribution to support public radio for Northeast Texas. Click the donate button at the top of the page. I'm Jared Knight. Thanks for listening.